The Jen, Gabe, and Chewy podcast is sponsored by Celsius Energy Drink, and I am here to tell you it makes a huge difference in my mornings. With a unique blend of essential energy and key vitamins, Celsius is your partner to an active lifestyle. My favorite, the peach vibe. Learn more at Celsius.com and pick up Celsius Energy Drinks today. Running her mouth, she wants to ride it. She's trying to hide it. I'm cool as ever. She's too excited. Her man look like he wanna fight. He ain't doing nothing but running his mouth. Talk about it. We all about it. They making plans. We sit and count. Our chair is stacking just like a mountain. You heard about it. She running her mouth. Do you guys think that servers still spitting people's food? She's too
excited. Her man look mine they do.
And your food they do?
Is that because you're a Richard to the staff?
No. I'm sure I've had some saliva in my life before.
Dario asked me the other day, how much spit do you think you've consumed at restaurants? I said, none. Why? He said, well, that's ridiculous. We went out to breakfast on Sunday morning. Sundays are pretty sacred in our house. You guys know I travel on Saturdays. The kids are in school. We got sports. We got activities. So Sundays are kind of like our day to go out for family breakfast and just, you know, do a pumpkin patch or do the things. We did our family pictures this Sunday. Went to a Halloween party, a trick-or-treating. But we went out to breakfast in the morning and all ordered different things. And Chaser, my 15-year-old, ordered the strawberry Nutella crepes.
Okay.
That sounds good. Yeah. I was like, ooh, good choice, buddy. Very excited. Thinking there's going to be a little powdered sugar on top. Just like sort of having a little FOMO for my own Eggs Benedict. And it comes out and it is crepe-ish. It's crepe-ish. And there's definitely Nutella drizzled on top and inside. But it wasn't strawberries, Chew. It was like a pie filling, like a gel, yeah. Like a strawberry gel. Mm-hmm. And Chase took a couple bites and he pushed the plate away and he said, no, thank you. I don't like this, right? It's a growing 15-year-old boy. He'll eat almost anything. Like, really? And I was like, what's wrong? You don't like it? He's like, no, it's not a, I thought it was going to be strawberries. Mm-hmm. It's like a jelly, yeah. Like a pie, yeah. Filling. So I went over and grabbed the menu. I said, well, maybe it said it in the menu. Maybe this is on you, and you just didn't thoroughly read the menu. So go grab the menu, read the menu, crepes. And it says banana, and it says cheese, and it says strawberry Nutella. There is no distinction. There is no explanation. There is just that. So I think that the 15-year-old is well within his right to be like, yeah, this isn't what I expected. This isn't what I wanted. And he only ate two bites of it. So we are wrapping up our meal and the lady comes over and she's staring at empty plate, empty plate, empty plate, empty plate, full plate of crepes. And she says, how was everything? And I said, well, I got to be honest, Judy, everything was not great. He did not enjoy the crepes. He was expecting it to be strawberries and it came out as like this gelatinous goo. I didn't say gelatinous goo, but you get the point. And she was like, oh, well, would you like the check? And I was like, and Dario kind of did the thing of like, don't do the thing.
What, you wanted the crepes for free?
I wanted them to take them off the menu.
You're crazy. He didn't, you're insane.
He didn't eat them.
Yes, he did.
He had two bites and he did not enjoy it.
There you go.
It.
You break it, you buy it.
No, it was not enjoy. He did not enjoy. He did not eat them.
That's the risk of going to a restaurant and ordering something you don't know. Sometimes you might not like it. Sometimes you got to, you know, suck it up, Jen, and eat it. Or, I mean, you ordered it. They made it. They incurred the cost of making it. That's the way they make it.
Yeah, but
it doesn't matter,
Gabe,
if you like it or not.
But here's the problem, Gabe. Here's the problem. You lost a customer. You lost a customer. Jen, are you going to go back to that place?
No. And again, it was $9.99.
You lost a customer.
So again, like, not one of these things where we were like breaking the bank over crepes, okay? It was more of everyone else ate their food. And mine was fine. It was fine. I would not say, oh, it was fantastic. It was so good. It's totally worth going back there. But that was an instance where, Chew, to your point, you just make it right. You go, oh my gosh, I'm so sorry. I'll take it off.
There's nothing. There's nothing wrong. There's nothing wrong to be made right.
They didn't misserve it. You just didn't like it.
Yeah, but you're not going back. You're losing a customer. You know, that's the problem.
Hey, you're just
for me,
you know,
today. Hold on, for me today, and it's sad to say, but a restaurant has to bat 750. Has to bat.
Sounds like they did.
Anything less than that, I ain't going.
Sounds like they batted 750. How many people
ordered? Restaurants today suck. I don't go out to eat as much because they do suck. And I'm not just talking Wisconsin. They suck down here. It's just everything sucks. You know? You go. And it's not only that. It's the amount of money you pay to go out to eat. It's like, did I break a window here? In the check? Did I smash a window along with my meal?
I mean, you are a big guy. I don't know window if you're like kind of, you know, like you went to the bathroom. You know? Maybe you was a little small. You didn't quite realize when you put up the elbow that it caught the window.
It's just like, I don't know.
So
it's
so
very frustrating.
So we leave the table. This is one of those places. It's a diner. You got to pay up at the front, right? So I go up to the front, and I also say to the woman, I said, hey, he did not enjoy the crepes. He thought it would be strawberries. It was some version of berry-ish. He did not enjoy it. Could you guys take it off of the bill? And the lady was like, oh, it's restaurant policy. We can't do that. Across the board? For nothing? Like, I understand that margins are thin. I do. I get it. But, like, we just told you that he ordered something. He didn't enjoy it. He didn't eat any of it. And I know you're saying, like, it's not like they can take it back and restock it. They can't put it back on the shelf. But it left a very bad taste in my mouth. If I had to guess who was left with a worse taste, Chase from the gelatinous crepes or me from the interaction with the serving staff and the manager, it was me.
Yeah, I just think your expectations here are so unreasonable.
Yeah?
So unreasonable.
So would you, Gabe, go back?
I don't know. Maybe. It depends upon, you know, the rotation. I don't go to a ton of places, but like, what you keep saying, well, we got to make this right. Who was wrong? What did the restaurant do that was wrong that they needed to make right in your eyes?
Well, but here's the other thing. At no point throughout the meal, and this is where, like, I feel like, Chewy, your point about, like, service has just, like, just cratered. Has absolutely plummeted. Like, no, he isn't eating the food. She's coming back around. She's checking the table. People, knives are scraping. Forks are scraping. Toast is being buttered. Kids are eating. And he is sitting there. And where was the awareness of, like, hey, something's right. Something's not right here. I can't put my finger on it, but something isn't right here. Somebody is not eating their breakfast. Somebody is not enjoying their meal. And there was never any mention or ask or addressing of, hey, you haven't eaten your meal. Is everything okay? Can I get you something else? Is there something, you know what I mean? Like, none of that exchange where, look, I was in the service industry, guys. I worked there for a very, very long time because you know why? I work in television. And sometimes the paycheck didn't cut it, right? Sometimes we had to supplement the income by working at the restaurant. So I worked at a restaurant. That to me is just like basic service etiquette. And I'm just surprised, too. Maybe this is like a grander thing that, like, it was never even noticed. It was never even tried to, oh, you're not eating the crepes. Is everything okay with them? Not even like a, is everything okay with them? Like, nothing. It was like, do you want the check? Yeah, I guess we've reached that portion of the meal.
Yeah, I look, sometimes you order something, it doesn't taste great. Like, that's not on the restaurant. Like, they made it the way that they made it. They didn't mess up. They didn't bring the wrong thing out. If they did something actually wrong, sure, expect it to come off the bill. But again, to me, that's the risk of going out.
But then, Gabe, you wonder why you have small margins. You wonder why you have small margins. You know how why you have small margins? Because repeat customers aren't coming back. You're losing them. Right? I know there's a fine balance, right? They should put,
well, but I mean,
this crepe strawberry.
Like,
it kind of sucks. But if you want to order it, go ahead and order it.
But, like, I mean, it seems like the rest of the meal was okay anyway. I don't know if you guys were going back, even if they would have refunded it.
Yeah, I think that's the fallacy of that whole market as a whole.
No, I can tell you definitively we would go back if they had refunded it. Because to me, there's a principle thing happening here. There's a principle of, like, we went there. We have a family of five, right? It's a pretty decent-sized bill, I think, if I'm not mistaken. It ended up being $110, $115 with you know what I mean? Like, mm-hmm. Pretty decent sized bill for a breakfast joint for a diner. And I think that I feel like all they would have had to do have been like, oh yeah, I'll take it off the menu. No big deal. Right. We would have tipped on it. We always tip on whatever we order. But I feel like just saying like, oh yeah, easy. No problem. But apparently this is a restaurant policy where they will not refund.
Well,
they will not take things
off.
I mean,
how many times is somebody going to go, oh, I don't like that. I want something else. No, you can't take two bites out of something and be like, ah, send it back. I mean, we're just not going to sit there for 3 hours as you tried to taste the entire menu and you're just going to keep sending things back? You took a couple of bites. It wasn't good. It's the way it goes at restaurants sometimes. You order something you don't like.
3776, folks weighing in saying, Jen, I hope you tipped accordingly then. That from Augie in Fredonia. We did tip accordingly. We tipped on everything that we ordered. We tipped on fine service. We usually standard 20%. I'm not one of these people that's like taking a dollar off tip. Chew, I think you've told that story before, right? Like taking a dollar off the table, taking a dollar off the table, taking a dollar off the table. Colin weighing in saying, smart and successful restaurants care more about customers than a $15 plate of crepes. Yeah, it was $9.99. But yes, he says, I'm with you, Jen. Ryan from McGonigal wants to know if I tasted it. I got to be honest with you. When I saw it, I did not want to taste it. Right? It was one of those where I was like, oh, huh. And again, I want to put the caveat out there, guys. This is my 15-year-old son who will eat
he's a garbage
just
disposal.
About anything right now. He is always starving. He is always consuming food. And the fact that he was like,
I can't imagine what Chewy was like as a 15-year-old.
Not for me. Would you have eaten?
I'd eat that, yeah.
I think Chewy probably ate tires.
Yeah.
Yeah. Staples.
It sure felt like it at times.
That felt like a criticism of mom's cooking there. I'm not sure if I was on that one. Chef Ed saying, go ahead, Chew.
So, Gabe, this is more directed at you and Josh. So, the customer's not always right anymore?
No,
or is the customer right at all?
Customer's rarely right.
But, what is the customer right
about? Josh. You can't run a business like that. I'm sorry.
That's
you
great.
Cannot
I'm not
run a successful
it.
Business I, like that. Like, I'm just saying, you cannot run a successful business like that.
I think places like Jen went, it seems like they prioritize getting people in and out, and it's churning and burning and kind of running it fastly. And if you are going to treat everyone as if they're special because they didn't like what they had, you're going to be stuck and your margins are small. The restaurant industry hasn't changed in terms of how small the margins are. Places have been closing that were relatively successful for a long time. Like, the margins aren't different now because the service isn't as good. It's simply the industry is hard to survive in.
Okay, I watched The Bear, too. I know, I'm familiar. But, like, again, having worked in restaurants for as long as I did, Joshy, there was a certain standard of service. I was expected, as a server, to make sure that the customer's experience was pleasant and good and positive, and they would come back. There doesn't seem to be that standard anymore.
Here's the thing. I go to restaurants a lot. I don't have as many bad run-ins as everyone else seems to have, and I don't know what the difference is. Maybe I just have a higher aptitude for dealing with stuff and like, hey, sometimes, like I talked about, we went and pretty much no one enjoyed our food, but that's just kind of what happens. Sometimes you don't enjoy it. You don't ask for money. I've never asked for money back on anything that I wasn't served, like as a whole. Like, oh, this didn't come out. Can I get that taken off the check? That's
so
just
what
how
would have
I
had, so if there had been, I'm trying to figure out like what would make it acceptable for him to return the meal? If there had been a hair in it?
Yes.
You guys, if there's a hair in the meal, that is absolutely 100% no, correct. Sorry, there was a hair in it.
Yes.
If there is a bug in it, what else are we talking about here that
like the wrong thing came out?
Jen, hold on. If they did do that, if they replace the crepe and say, well, you want something else, we'll take the crepe off the menu, would you go back there?
Yes, because I feel good service.
You can't, you're done. And I'm the same way as you, Jen. You do something, you're dead to me. You're dead. I'll go somewhere else.
But again, I still don't think the restaurant did anything wrong. I have yet to hear the one thing. Like, did they go above and beyond? No. But I want to know what they actually did wrong.
But that's the thing. I think that the standards are dropping. I think the standard is now, did I write down your order? Did I bring you the food? Did I come back at the end of the meal and see how everything was? Because that's the other thing, guys. If at any point in the middle of the meal or right, you know, like that was the thing we were taught when we were servers as well. Within the first 2 minutes of them starting to eat, you come back around and make sure that everything was okay. That was a standard operating procedure when I was serving at some of the restaurants here in Milwaukee. And that way, if something wasn't right or if someone was not enjoying or had a buyer's remorse, you could fix it right away. Obviously, like I mentioned, there was no notice. The Chase was the only one not eating, all of that stuff. And then at the end of the meal, when I said, actually, he did not enjoy this. He was expecting it to be strawberries. It ended up being strawberry filling. I checked the menu to see if he had just kind of missed a note on that. But this was not, he did not enjoy this.
I guess pull the thread, though. Continue there. So had she noticed in the 2 minutes, and it's still company policy, what then? Like, what do we do then?
Then he gets something else. Hey, can I get you something else? What would you like?
But they're not going to replace it.
You know what's crazy is what my daughter had fruit on the side of her Mickey Mouse pancakes, right?
Right.
Whole bowl of strawberries. bowl of them.
What I mean?
So again, could have been rectified by, oh, we got regular strawberries in the back. Hold on, I'll bring you a cup of them. We'll throw them in a crepe, put some Nutella on it. Bingo, bango, dunzo.
Yeah, what I'm asking is, like, they're not going to replace the meal for free. Like, if that is the policy. So once you say, I don't like it, it would be on you then to order something new and pay for something new.
Nick weighing in saying, Jen should have told them that they didn't like it sooner than they could have replaced it. And it just jumped on me. I love it when that happens. You're reading, and then it's like, click, click, because more are coming in. I do agree they should have taken it off the bill. Chewy probably didn't have a choice back in the day. Eat it or you starve. That from Dave and Aaron. Tony says you should have tipped less if the server was that oblivious. It's not the restaurant's fault, but the server did not deserve a full tip. Sounds like Tony has similar standards for service to me. Steven saying, I'm with Jen and Chewy. Margins aside, how much would it really cost to throw a few extra pancakes? Come on. That from Steven in Sussex. 20 years managing restaurants, rule number one, the customer is always right. Rule number two, if customer is not right, see rule number one. You do everything you can to make the customer happy, because if you don't, they will tell 10 to 20 people who will now not come to your restaurant. Or they'll go on the radio in the morning. Like, I just want to put it out there. I mean, there probably are 10 to 12 people listening to Jen, Gabe, and Chewy at this very moment. So, yes, that happens.
This is all just insane to me. No. No, I don't Yelp. I don't Google review. I don't do any of that. Like,
even if
you
ordered
something
bad,
that's on you.
Wait, time out.
Like, take responsibility for your own actions.
But time out. Do you not crowdsource at all?
I mean, I'll ask. So if I will ask people like that I know. Like, I don't, because most of the time someone's going to go on Yelp or Google, it's because they're pissed off that they had something, and that could be an outlier. Because no restaurant's going to be 100%. Right? Like,
no,
I'm sure there was somebody back in the day, Jen, that even though you were a good server, probably didn't have a great experience.
100%.
For whatever reason.
But again,
and then if they're the ones who Yelp about that, like...
But the problem with your position right now is you're acting as though I am expecting it to be 100%. I'm not. I'm simply expecting that when it isn't 100%, when our experience is not positive, that you do what you can to fix it. And then we walk out the door going, yeah, crepes sucked. They were horrible. I can't believe they served that to people. But when we alerted them to it, they did what they could to make it better so that we walked out with a positive experience.
But again, nobody
experience.
Did. I don't know what the restaurant did wrong other than like not give you something that you ate for free.
Dave from Aaron says, from now on,
Jen,
take a couple hairs off your head, put it on there, and request your refund.
There you go.
This is insane, Gabe,
the cost of that crepe for them to probably make was $4. If that, you lost a repeat customer over $4.
Well, is this the first time you've gone
there?
No, we've been there before.
Okay, like I'm willing to bet that you end up going back.
800-990-3776. I will say this on the record. As we were walking out the door and I was relaying this story to my family, I said, let's take a break from this place, shall we?
You're taking a break. You're going to go back. You're going to go back.
Don't make me make a declaration on this radio station, Gabe. Do not make me bang the gavel on this. I don't necessarily want to do that at this point. But you mentioned not crowdsourcing. I bet you do in ways you didn't think. I use Google Maps, you guys. And instead of now flashing your brights to let people know that there are police officers, Google Maps in your car has a feature where you can hit, boop, speed trap. And then it alerts everyone else using Google Maps who's driving that route that there is a speed trap coming up there. That's crowdsourcing. That's what that is.
Okay.
Right. I'm just saying, like, if you think you're not a crowdsourcer, like, there are.
No, I just said I didn't crowdsource for restaurants. Like, I don't know what
I'm just saying.
Doing.
It's becoming more and more of a thing, the crowdsourcing. I was surprised that that was, like, a way now that people are sharing what is going on without ever interacting with each other personally, just because you use the similar app. We have to get to Jason Wilde. Lots of reaction rolling in this morning. People feel very strongly about whether or not we should have gotten a refund on our breakfast items on Sunday morning. There is so much stuff to get to for the Green Bay Packers. Lots of injuries popping from this past weekend's game, and we got positive news, good news, great updates on many of them. We'll talk about those with Jason Wilde right after this.
Ready, down, hut.
All Packers, all the time.
He was a field-tilting player, and the reason why Gabe and many others are so concerned is that this guy's on the field, he changes the offensive dynamic. They are a different offense when he is there.
Okay, most of the time.
You know, Homer calls Matt LaFleur soft all the time. Matt LaFleur is like Vince Lombardi compared to me.
It's Jason Wilde on Jen, Gabe, and Chewy.
People have very strong feelings about our experience at the restaurant. We will get to some of that reaction as the show rolls on this morning. But I know people have strong reactions to the information that came out of 1265 yesterday, which is essentially that the Packers got very lucky. They lucked out on some of these injuries, including the quarterback's Jordan Love. It is an injury that should not keep him out for a very long time. He may even play this weekend. And for more information on that, we go out to our friend and teammate Jason Wilde, who I can see this morning, Jason. Good morning.
Where are you going, Jason?
Maddie's got her knee surgery this morning. I got to tell you guys, I don't know how you do this every day. You guys are so fantastic. I respect the hell out of you. Well, maybe not you, Chewy, but the other two for sure.
That's good enough.
2 out of 3.
My alarm went off at 5:05, which I think is still sleeping in for you guys. I just don't know. I don't know how you do this, but kudos to you.
Well, we appreciate that, Jason. Let's talk about the information that came out of Packers World yesterday. Jordan Love's injury is a groin strain, not a tear. That's very good. And then the news sort of surrounding everybody was pretty positive. What was your reaction to what we were told yesterday about these injuries that the Packers players are dealing with?
Yeah, I don't know if a strain is severe enough to keep Jordan Love out of Sunday's showdown with the Lions. I will say this. I asked LaFleur point blank with the bye week coming next. Is there any feeling of, hey, we can get him essentially 3 weeks of healing if we don't play him against the Lions? And he said, if he's good to go, he's playing. So that, to me, that tells me that they're going into this week believing there's a distinct possibility, maybe not a likelihood, but a possibility that he will play. I'm sure, I would guess that tomorrow he won't practice, and then Thursday we'll start that ridiculous limited routine, but we'll have to wait and see.
But Jason, he's, I'm talking LaFleur, he's Mr. Covert Ops, so we really can't take him at his word when it comes to injuries. But I mean, we all saw the game with our eyes and it was clearly bothering him. It's just, I think the risk is way too much to trot him out there, because if he pulls it this time, then it's a 4 to 6 week injury with the meat of the schedule coming up. Would you agree or no?
I totally agree. At the same time, you know, I think there was a segment of the fan base, and maybe even a segment of people here at 1265, that thought maybe he could have played through the knee injury. And I really thought it was a really good thing that he was able to push through during the course of the game. Just for those folks that doubted his toughness or his willingness to play through injury, I don't know why they did that. I think we're just spoiled by the other two guys that came before him. But the bottom line is you're risking a more serious injury if he does play. And suddenly now, as Jen put it, you know, you go from a strain to a tear. And Tausch tore his groin off the bone during his career. That's not great, Bob. So, again, I don't know. You know, I love the fact that LaFleur – somebody asked him about the NFL Network report, and he said, frankly, I don't know how people get that information. I hope it didn't come from inside this building. First of all, I know he talks to Tom Pelissero, but secondly, I'm sure it didn't come from inside this building. I'm sure it came from the agent to those guys at the NFL Network. So, look, it's good news. It's good news that Jaire Alexander, as our buddy Rob Domofsky reported, did not suffer any major structural damage to his knee. I do think that they'll probably be without Evan Williams for a little while. And you saw, as LaFleur called it, the chain reaction that occurred when he went out. So that's less than ideal. He has turned into you know, not just Micah Hyde 2.0, but a really important piece for them defensively. So it'll be interesting to see how the week plays out. But, you know, I want to emphasize this because I think there's a feeling, I don't remember who I was talking to about this yesterday, but like, yeah, is this a big game? Absolutely it is, right? I mean, this factors into tiebreakers, winning the division, all those types of things. But as I recall from the 2010 team, they went down to Atlanta during the regular season and got beat. And it was the most confident, upbeat, losing locker room I have ever been in my career. They were like, look, if we play these guys again, we're going to beat them. And lo and behold, remember, they did exactly that in the NFC divisional round. So if they play on Sunday without Love and Malik Willis plays okay, but not miraculously, and they lose, I'm willing to bet that they'll come out of that game thinking, okay, we didn't have our guy. We're going to go. And the next time we play these guys the week after Thanksgiving, we can beat them. And then in the playoffs, we're definitely going to beat them. I would guess that that would be the attitude if that's how the week plays out.
Jason, it doesn't seem like Matt LaFleur is that concerned about the front four and the pass rush. Is he just covering for his guys, or is he actually not that concerned about the pass rush and how bad it's been from those guys?
Yeah, he's got to be covering for his guys, right? Like, that was the last question of the press conference that I snuck in there right before the final horn. And if I hear any more about chips and thumps, and
when he does that, Jason, it's like, well, man, how does anybody get a sack in the NFL? How does this ever happen?
You took the words right out of my mouth. Like that, I'm surprised. I mean, how are all these other teams getting after the quarterback? It's a miracle. I do think he's taking up for his guys, and that's his job, right? Like, I'm not going to rip him for that. But at the same time, you're paying Rashawn Gary $96 million.
Yeah.
Like, he has to win those. Like, I never hear Mike McCarthy say, well, Micah Parsons is hurt right now, but talk about Micah Parsons go, man, I don't know what we're going to do. They just keep chipping him, and he just can't get home, right? Like, everybody's talking about Max Crosby and how the Lions should go get him, which is not going to happen. Boy, Max Crosby. I mean, you thump him, you chip him. I mean, he's a total non-factor. Aiden Hutchinson, the only way they've stopped him was he broke his leg. So I don't personally subscribe to that theory, but the bottom line is that however he wants to defend them, they have not gotten enough production. And I know everybody wants to get pressures with their front four, but it makes your life so much easier if those guys are getting the job done, and those guys just haven't.
Jason Wilde hanging out with Jen, Gabe, and Chewy this morning. Okay, what is your subscription willingness to a Za'Darius Smith reunion? Because on this show, we have been like, I don't think so. But I have seen whispers out there. I have seen blogs that are like, hey, whatever happened, water under the bridge, bygones be bygones. They need a pass rush. This guy can at least get to the quarterback. 4 sacks in 7 games, playing 56% of the snaps.
Never say never. But let's be honest, that dude quit on this team, right? Like, he didn't get it what he wanted. He didn't get voted a captain. I still, you know, I'm a Goodman's Jewelers guy personally. I don't know if I would ever go and get a diamond-encrusted captaincy pendant to go show off to my teammates because I'm so pissed that they didn't elect me as a captain. I mean, he had the mysterious back injury that just came out of nowhere. I'm still not 100% convinced he had surgery. But again, that's me being skeptical. They've got pretty damn good chemistry in that locker room. I don't know if he is a guy that I would want to add to my roster. They talk all the time about chemistry. I'm not sure that he would be a positive addition in that realm.
All right, Jason, we appreciate you hanging out with us this morning. I was just seeing if Chewy wanted to get one more in here. And
well, I did, but Josh, he didn't. Can I ask it? Sorry, Josh.
I asked if you had another question. You said no.
I know, but I was nervous and you jumped me and then I knew Jason was ending and I didn't know how this worked on the stream.
I saw you shake your head, so I was like, oh, he doesn't have another question, so we'll move on.
Josh,
well, Jason's driving and looking at the camera the whole time, and I don't know how he's doing it.
Are you kidding me? Can you? There's no movement. He's not moving.
I am parked outside the Associated Bank gate. Here at Lambeau, I'm going to stuff you in that locker if you don't ask a question.
One question, Jason. Do you think Detroit is up to something after seeing Dan Campbell's press conference?
I didn't see Dan Campbell's press conference. Fill me in.
He was jumping around. They asked him. Gabe, you saw it. I didn't see it. I just heard about it.
Yeah. We all saw it.
Well, apparently
what did he do?
Two of the four people on the panel didn't see it.
I saw it. So he was, Josh, you saw it.
He was asked about it.
If you had to guess who didn't see it, Jason.
He was asked about it. He just kind of had a wry smile. And then somebody kind of asked a similar follow-up question, and he had the wry smile and then started jumping up and down. Like, he seemed very excited about the possibility of adding a pass rusher to the Detroit Lions.
Yeah, so the Chiefs have now in the last week, right? They've gone out and gotten DeAndre Hopkins and the pass rusher from Michigan, whose name is escaping me as I sit here.
Uche,
there you go. I think the trade deadline, I think it's great for football that the trade deadline has become a more interesting time. I still think back to Mike McCarthy at the podium during the Ted Thompson era, and Bill Huber asks him, are you expecting anything to happen here at the trade deadline? And McCarthy says, I thought that was next week. And we're all like, wait, what? And he's like, that's what it's like around here. So, it's different now. Goody has certainly, I know he has explored things in the past. He certainly has the cap room and the draft ammunition to make some moves. I don't see Matt LaFleur jumping up and down the way Dan Campbell apparently was, not according to Chewy, who didn't actually see it. The bottom line is this could be an interesting week, and I'm eager to see if either of these teams add, because that's what good teams do now. It is not the way it used to be, where you were kind of stuck with the roster you had, and the trade deadline was a big nothing burger.
And I think it, Jason, has a lot to do with the parity in the league. I feel like GMs are going, if there's a way we can get better and we are a contender, it is almost foolish not to use that tool in your tool belt. I mean, again, we were talking about how teams that are in contention do seem to be more willing to, and I wonder if the Green Bay Packers will sort of join that fray. We appreciate you hanging out with us this morning. We'll send you the clip of Dan Campbell doing a little happy dance.
He's already got it in his text.
Oh, look at Josh. He's all over it. He's like, bleep, bleep, say.
This is why he's so intimidating.
Yes, that's it. Jason, we appreciate you hanging out with us. We'll talk to you again soon.
All right, guys. Thanks a lot. Take care. Be good.
You can listen to Jason Wilde on Wilde and Tausch right after Jen, Gabe, and Chewy each and every morning on 94.5 ESPN Milwaukee. Jaylian saying, terrible idea, Jen, just as bad as your betting skills. It's not my idea, Jaylian. I saw it online. People are talking about it on Twitter. There are some blogs. They do need a pass rush. He happens to be one who is out there and available. I wanted to get Jason's opinion, having been in that locker room more consistently than the rest of us, on if he thinks that move is even being considered at 1265. You're welcome for the insight.
Well, what about the second part of that? How was your betting record?
Very good.
Okay.
Really?
I mean, you were starting to get hot. I haven't asked the follow-ups
on
Mondays.
Well, you know what I've done? I've stayed in the college space.
Okay.
If I do the college games, I feel like I got a little more insight. I feel like I got a little more connection to those teams, and I feel a little more. And I did lose on the Packers this weekend. I did take Packers -4. I thought that was a safe bet. They obviously did not win by -4. But I will tell you this. I would rather take the win than the win in my wallet anyway. Why are you looking at me like that?
I thought we had an agreement. I thought you were staying away from local teams.
I forgot about it. Pottawatomie Sportsbook is upping its game in a major move for all sports bettors out there. You can now use your Pottawatomie rewards cards at most self-service kiosks and the betting counter. Bet on your favorite sports and earn reward points along the way. Now that is a winning play. Bet above the rest. Learn more at paysbig.com/sportsbook.
This is Jen, Gabe, and Chewy.
excuse me. Hold on. Getting choked up over it. So, hold on. Give me a moment.
On 94.5 ESPN.
You just heard Adam Schefter there. Remember, Adam Schefter joins Jen, Gabe, and Chewy each and every Wednesday at 7:30 right here on 94.5 ESPN Milwaukee if you want his local insight to what is going on in Green Bay and around the league. Tune in every Wednesday at 7:30. So we were just talking with Jason Wilde. If you missed any of that, you can find it on Wisconsin On Demand, wherever you get your podcasts, about the trade deadline. And it is not just my imagination, right, guys? It is not just my imagination that this has become an actual thing, that teams that are in the running, that teams that see themselves as Super Bowl contenders feel like it's an opportunity to make their team better, right, Chu? Like, around the league, you're seeing teams who are making moves in the weeks leading up to the trade deadline. I don't feel like you saw that 10 years ago.
Yeah, there was nothing. Even when I played, it was just like, who cares? Trade deadline, we're not doing anything. My question is just, will the Packers try to Zeke the Detroit Lions, which would be wonderful?
I think what's also interesting to add to that is...
What?
Teams,
you guys don't
now,
know what Zeke is?
Well, no, it was you coughing into the mic and just ending your sentence. Also, teams now that are not in contention will trade good players. Like... Good players used to not really be even available. So, it like, as we know, it takes two to tangle there. And teams who are in a rebuilding will move on from guys that, like Chase Young.
I was about to say, we saw it last year with Washington. They kind of had a fire sale. They traded away Chase Young. They traded away Montez Sweat, which was big for the Chicago Bears, even going into this year. We've already seen a couple of trades happen with the Chiefs this year already. So, yes, to your point, Jen, teams that are looking to improve, I mean, even if it might just be marginally, they've got avenues, whereas, the trade deadline, I don't know if it was, if it's just kind of a copycat league, Chew, and now they think that guys can just acclimate to new systems and new teams quicker, because I feel like that was always an excuse for, you played, or in the 2000s, like, well, football's complicated, you got to learn the playbook, that's what training camp is for, to have a guy come in the middle of the season, expect him to be productive, just seemed unrealistic, and that seems to be a thought that's been left behind.
I think they're devaluing draft picks, which they should, you know? I'd rather take an established player, you know he's good, pay him his money, and then get the value out of him that way. It's like, it's kind of like... the transfer portal now. Remember how coaches used to use the excuse, well, they're not my guys, you know, I got to wait 4 years to get my guy. That's not the case anymore.
Or when a coach would
teams
get a new
go out
job
and get their guys.
Right, too, when they would take over a team.
Yeah. Teams go out in college and get their own. They rebuild positions through the transfer portal. And I think that's kind of, some GMs are still, I just still think they value draft picks too much, because we were gushing over Goody yesterday, right? Rightfully so. But he has warts. He's got big warts. Rashawn Gary is a wart. Lucas Van Ness is turning into a wart. And Eric Stokes, 3 first-round picks are warts. Right? So, I mean, what do you do, and I think I brought this up in the meeting, what do you do with Rashawn Gary at the end of the season if he has 4 sacks? And they're in the middle of it. And their window is going to be even more wide open next year. But this is a glaring problem standing in the way to get you to the Super Bowl. What do you do with him at the end of the year if he has 4 sacks?
I don't know, Chew. I mean, you can get out of the deal. It's like a $25 million cap hit, and I'm sure you can spread that out over 2 years if you do, you know, the post-June 1 release, if that's something you want to do, or a post-June 1 trade. But, man, I still can't figure out what the hell happened to Rashawn Gary, because he was better almost immediately after his knee surgery, Chew, than he has been in the last calendar year. Like, in the last calendar year, I think he's got 3 sacks. It's not good.
Yeah, but I think he's falling into that category, Gabe, of like, hey, got my money. Let me know when
I'm up. But could it also just be as simple
again.
As you have a knee injury and you're never the same?
I mean, I think that's got to be that. That's the thing that makes the most sense. But then, how the hell did he have 8 sacks in the first half of last season?
So let me ask you
like,
this.
That's the thing that just is crazy to me.
Let's just say they get to the NFC Championship against Detroit and lose in a close game. What do you do next year? Do you roll it back? Do you do what the Bucs do and say, maybe they'll be better or roll it back? Or you're like, I got to make some moves here.
I mean, I think, again, I think the biggest thing to find is that pass rusher, but that's an incredibly hard thing to find. And it's going to be even harder if you end up just, you know, I guess you're probably saving a little bit of money at the end of the day, but a $25 million cap hit certainly hurts as you're trying to improve your team with a player significant enough that can have double-digit sacks.
But I got to be honest with you guys, I'm more worried, concerned about Lucas Van Ness than I am about Rashawn Gary. I guess my brain has sort of accepted that Rashawn Gary is who he is, maybe for the reasons Chewy has mentioned, maybe for the conversation we had about his knee. But Lucas Van Ness is a young guy who I think they expected to sort of pick up the slack there, who they expected to be able to get pressure on the quarterback, who they expected to be a sack generator, and he has been none of those things. Like, for me, that's more concerning than Rashawn Gary. Is anybody with me on that? Is anybody more concerned about Lucas Van Ness and his lack of production than Rashawn Gary's?
I guess I've flipped where I've kind of accepted after hearing Chewy talk about he's got one move and it's a bull rush, and that's only going to get you so far.
Why can't he teach him another move? Can we just teach him another move?
I'm guessing they've tried.
It's
right?
Like, why can't Giannis shoot 85% from the free throw line? He just can't. It's not in the cards.
And they've tried, you know? Right? I'm guessing the coaching staff has tried, Chew.
Yeah, you know? I think he just is what he is, and you can still keep him on the roster without paying him a ton. I'm talking in the 20s, because try-hard guys are good to have, you know? Guys that are just go to the whistle 100%, but he's just limited in his moves.
Try hard guy if you draft him later on, if he's a third round pick. Like, I don't think you can accept a try hard where you drafted him.
I
kind of have to now.
And that's a ward.
That's why I'm saying. I mean, and again, we always talk about like where you're drafted, whether you like it or not, definitely affects the expectation. So I know that they were drafted similarly, but like at this point, I expected a younger, and maybe I'm being fooled by the physical specimen that Lucas Van Ness is, thinking that like, well, if you look like that, it feels like you should be more productive. I don't know. Yeah. I've been burned by that before, though, guys. Brady Quinn in the NFL, like, you know, there's physical specimen.
Sam
Hartman,
good looking guy.
Physical specimen can only go so far, is what I'm trying to say. Just because you're jacked doesn't mean you're going to necessarily.
So Brady Quinn was a good looking dude, so he should be a good quarterback. Is that what you're saying?
No, I'm saying like physical specimen. I'm not saying
handsome quarterbacks always do better. That's just a no.
Handsome quarterbacks always do better.
Yeah,
I'd like to see the list on that.
I don't know about that.
Look at quarterbacks. Aren't they often the most attractive?
I mean, Tom Brady wasn't the most attractive when he started.
True. He did pay for his attractiveness.
He got more attractive as it got
along.
Funny
how he got richer.
Maybe
he got better looking.
Maybe
it's
that's a fault
that
of
works.
Mine. When I say handsome quarterback, I think they're better.
He looks like... Yeah, but he took it too far. He looks like Max Headroom.
Josh
now,
is like, I want to draft him in the first round. I looked into his eyes. He's too good looking. I can't say no.
Yes.
Chewy
Gabe, do you guys know who Max Headroom is?
No.
Yeah, it was like that robot thing from back in the 80s or 90s, and he would like glitch as he talked, right?
He looks like Brady. No?
Well, you got to Google
Tom
picture.
Brady or Brady Quinn?
No, Tom Brady. Okay. Good clarification.
Okay,
there,
I mean, somehow we
this
were...
This conversation is gone.
So Max what?
Headroom. It was a great commercial in what, the 80s, 90s, Jen?
Yeah, back in the day.
Oh, okay, sure. I've seen this thing.
Does it look like Brady to you?
Not even a little bit.
What? Oh, shut up.
He's like got a square head.
Yes.
Are you talking about like the square jaw that he's manufactured?
Yeah.
Bought,
yeah,
purchased.
Gabe is just an agitator today. That's it. With the restaurant and Max Headroom, what the hell? What did we do to you?
How does this look? That just doesn't look like Tom Brady to me.
Really
just doesn't know.
Are you thinking of old Tom Brady or new Tom Brady?
That looks like
again a good
take
clarification.
Take the hair out of it. You're distracted by the hair.
Yeah,
just
like the hair and the forehead are just they're nothing there.
Yes, they are. It looks just like him. You're insane.
800-990-3776. We've got Bizarro Gabe this morning. Is that what you're contending to?
It's just opposite Gabe. It's like the Bucks Gabe.
I would be curious what the loyal listeners, which one they're more concerned about between Rashawn Gary's lack of production and Lucas Van Ness's lack of production. Josh is going to put that on the Jen, Gabe, and Chewy Twitter poll. Because my thing is like, I guess I expect more from the younger guys, whether that's fair or unfair. Should Rashawn Gary be producing at a higher clip based on what he's being paid? Yes. Based on where he was drafted? Yes. All of those things. But I also recognize the knee injury, and that may be contributing to the lack of production. Whereas Lucas Van Ness, you were drafted real high to be that guy who could get to the quarterback, to be that guy who could create pressure, and we're not seeing any of that from him.
Yeah, but a lot of those times, those guys, he was drafted as a developmental guy. It's not like he was super productive. I mean, he was a good player, certainly at Iowa, but he was drafted, kind of like Rashawn Gary was, as a, you know, hey, this is going to be a project, probably not going to get as many snaps as most first-round picks. We're going to have to develop him, and that development just has not happened.
Steve, in the 920 agrees with you. Wasn't this Rashawn Gary in college who we're seeing now?
Mm-hmm.
Chewy, you've been saying that for a long time. All right, we got to take a break here on Jen, Gabe, and Chewy. We roll on right for this.
It doesn't matter what age you are. Low testosterone can be an issue with any guy. That's where Mentality comes in. Local healthcare facilities specifically dedicated to helping men feel and perform at their very best. What do I mean by that? I mean, if you're tired, groggy, just don't feel like yourself, don't have that energy to attack your day. Those could all be signs of low testosterone. And Mentality can help. They certainly have helped me to get the energy that I need to be able to attack my day. So if that kind of sounds like you, see if it is low testosterone. Go to lowtusa.com, book an appointment, and if your testosterone levels are low, Mentality will work with you and give you a customized testosterone treatment plan. Mentality allows treatment to fit into every guy's lifestyle, so learn more about Mentality and their low testosterone treatments at lowtusa.com.
This is Jen, Gabe, and Chewy.
His eyeball.
Wait.
Where do I get him?
I just assumed, when I said wait, did you just think it was just a suggestion?
Yeah, pretty much. Typically.
On 94.5 ESPN.
Ditch the random channel surfing with your remote and grab your phone. Open the ESPN app. Their new Where to Watch feature is a game changer. With so many games going on, the ESPN app is your answer for what channel, what app, or what stream to get to. Want to know where the Bucks are tipping off on a Thursday night? Boom, ESPN app. Need the channel for Sunday green and gold games? You already have the answer. It's the ESPN app's Where to Watch tab. Say goodbye to frustration and hello to watching sports. Download the ESPN app from your app store and find the Where to Watch TV icon.
Gabe mentioned the Milwaukee Bucks, and I, was very excited about the Bucks matchup last night against the Boston Celtics. And I will tell you, for the first half of the game, I was right there. I was like, all right, this is the Bucks team I was sort of hoping that we would see this season. This is the team that I thought maybe they had put together and assembled, despite very poor performances against Chicago and against Brooklyn. And then the third quarter happened, Gabe, and that was, I sent a text message to you guys. I said, this is a tough watch.
Yeah, the third quarters, for whatever reason, those last three games have been tough for the Bucks. I know Giannis said that they're looking for an identity after the game against the Nets the other night, and it's just tough for them to generate offense when you don't have both Giannis and Dame in the game. Hopefully when Chris Middleton comes back, which should be sooner rather than later, you'll be able to mix and match those lineups easier, and then you've got three guys that can create some offense that you can run some offense through to kind of help for whatever reasons they're experiencing in the third quarter.
But it's beyond that, and Chewy actually has been right on top of this thing when he talks about the aging guys. Like, we love Bobby Portis in the city, but he feels like a liability out there sometimes.
No, he's always been a liability defensively.
Okay, well,
that's always been a thing.
Why does it feel more glaring now?
It's always been there. I guess Bobby is Bobby. Like, he's going to get you a lot of offensive energy, but yeah, defensively he gets lost.
Pat Connaughton's
been tough to watch.
Yep, in these last few games, Chew, some of that age and that that slowness that we have been concerned about, I feel like it has reared its ugly head. How long do you think they can withstand, you know, being a little bit slower than some of these other teams?
I don't think they can, because you know, it's a lot like the NFL, or it's a lot like any sport for that matter. The longer the season goes along, they're going to get slower. They're not going to get quicker, you know. But this is they knew this going into this season, that they had an old team, a slow team. They're trying to run it back. I mean, I don't know. You can only do so much during the season with trades to kind of change that. But this is what it's going to be. The biggest thing they need to do is stay healthy. And I like this load management. It's the NFL's a lot like it now. Who cares? Like this game against Detroit, I'll bring it back to football. I agree with Jason. It really doesn't. It doesn't matter in the grand scheme of things. It's all about the playoffs, right? Mm-hmm. I mean, home games for us back in the day, I think were a lot bigger today. I just think with the communication and the evolution of the game and the technology, it's not as hard to go into San Francisco or Dallas and win than it was back in my day. For whatever reason, mentally or whatever it is, I just don't think it's as big as a deal. I don't know how that ties back into the Bucs, but you know, Gabe, I bring it all back to football.
Yeah, you'll bring it all back to football. Yeah, and that's the thing. I mean,
we actually
this is
have
game
an over-under set for when we talk about the Bucs. How quickly will Chu spin it to football?
Well, again, this is game number four. Like, you shouldn't feel any different about the Bucs had they won or lost last night. This is like the Packers not scoring on the opening drive and going, well, that's it. You know, it's game four in November. Or actually, not even in November, in October. Like, we've got a long ways to go before the postseason. This team's going to look radically different by the time we get to March. Enjoy the games if you can, although last night you couldn't really enjoy it.
The second half was very, very, very difficult to watch. And Giannis with the turnovers as well. I think that, like, I don't want to say that we can accept some of these other deficiencies. Obviously, we're talking about Bobby. There are some issues there with Pat as well. But Giannis, we need to be a little bit more Chewy, to bring it back to football. We need him to protect the football a little bit more. We need him to protect the ball, right? Ball security. And the turnovers, I feel like, are becoming an issue for Giannis.
The Celtics look good?
Yeah, I mean, the Celtics.
Yes, they're very deep. They're very talented.
Yeah, the Celtics look good.
Okay. Very talented players.
They're the best team. Yeah, they're the best team in the league. What do you want? Is that what you wanted?
Don't yell at me.
Is that what you wanted from me?
Well, Josh already yelled at me today. I don't need you yelling at me, too.
When did you yell at me?
I didn't yell. I asked if you had another question for Jason.
Well, I choked. It was like box poach, and I thought it was cover two. I did the wrong thing.
That's exactly what I wanted.
I saw you on the stream.
I choked.
Shake your
totally
head, no.
Choke.
And then I was like, okay, so we're not doing a question. And then he's like, well, I have one more question. So we'll take a break here on Jen, Gabe, and Chewy. Roll on right after this.
More Jen, Gabe, and Chewy coming up on 94.5 ESPN.